Ladies and gentlemen out there in podcast land, my name is David Armstrong. With me as always is...
Claire Yale.
Hi Claire, how are you?
I am good. I'm doing well.
We are here doing our podcast. This is the first episode called Unseen Footage. And this is the show, basically, I take a movie that I saw when I was a kid or younger, a younger self, and I loved it. And I show it to Claire, who's never seen it. And the first episode that we're doing is the movie... Hook, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I'm very excited. There's actually a really funny story as to why, Claire, as to why you never saw this movie.
Yeah. So I want you to I've never seen Hook.
Okay, great. And I'm so excited because it's like 20 years later now. we're well into our adult years. And can you just quickly rehash the story for all the listeners about why you never saw this movie?
Yeah. So every person that I know... in our, you know, age bracket,
yep.
has seen this movie.
Yes.
There's not one person that I've come across that I say, oh yeah, I've never seen that, who isn't like, what?
Exactly.
You've never seen Hook?
Not one person has said, me too.
Right. I've never gotten that.
Nope.
I've literally never gotten that. So I didn't see Hook because when we, 1991, when it came out,
yep.
My father went to see it.
Okay.
I don't know who he went to see it with. I guess my mom, but I'm not sure. But I know that he walked out of the movie in the movie theaters because he hated it so much.
Wow.
And because of that, I never saw it. He proclaimed, like, I remember he came home, he was like, it was awful. You're not allowed to see it. Like, you're never seeing that movie.
So it wasn't that you chose not to see it. Initially, it was, you were not allowed to see this movie.
Yes, exactly.
Because of, quote unquote, how bad it was.
How bad it was.
Right.
And, I mean, I guess we saw good movies, but it wasn't like
sure.
our family was really invested in cinema or
right.
we really, like, loved going to the movies
right.
together.
You weren't a family of snobs who only
right.
saw Spielberg's best works.
Exactly.
Or anything like that.
Yeah. We
okay.
watched, like, the TV version of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
There you go. Which yeah. is a terrible movie.
Oh, my gosh. I love that movie. I love
it. Well, speaking of which, I love... Hook. I didn't see it in 91. We were four when this movie came out. I think I saw it a little bit after Robin Williams had done Aladdin, I think the year after this. And I was a little bit older. I was like six or seven, probably. So first grade. And Peter Pan, that whole thing. You're a kid. I had grown up on the Mary Martin version of Peter
mm-hmm.
Pan, the musical. And
yeah.
It's like filmed. It's the filmed version of a stage play.
Right.
And Mary Martin, who's this, obviously a woman, plays Peter Pan, because all the singing parts are keyed for girls. So I grew up on that, and Peter Pan was awesome. Loved the Disney movie. So when Hook was put in front of me, and I watched it, it was the best. It was the best thing I'd ever seen. I love Robin Williams in it. I love Dustin Hoffman as Captain Hook. So overall, I have no problem with this movie, and I know that a lot of people do. It's not a critically positive movie. A lot of critics hated it. They mostly are like, Neverland is very bland. It's very not colorful like you would expect it to be. A lot of the storytelling is very uninspired. And one critic I remember hated the choreography, the fight choreography.
Oh,
which I kind of agree with.
Yeah.
Now that this is the first time I'd watched it since pretty in a few years.
Right.
And I'd forgotten that it's not that great. But overall, and I was just telling Claire this before we started recording, but when you're a kid and you see something that like really is like a lot of adventure and you can relate to like and you love it, it's hard to change that way of thinking. When you're
right.
older.
Well, it's nostalgia. You have
yeah.
this nostalgia for this film.
Absolutely. I really tried to watch it critically. I was like, okay. And I will give it like, yeah, the sword fighting, not as great as I remember it. But overall, I still found myself cheering for everything and getting really excited and being really happy watching this movie. So I think everybody's a little hard on it.
Well,
who is critical of it.
Right. The second film that I know that my father walked out of is...
he does this a lot.
This is a recurring thing. Is Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Well, this is late. This is like a few years ago.
Yeah. So stick with me, because that's what. So I kept drawing this comparison, kind of where like Pirates of the Caribbean is a kids' movie, kind of, or like adolescent kids, whatever. But it's also aimed towards a larger audience of adults, and I kept trying to draw these parallels between these two films.
Right.
Maybe that I am, you know, putting on just because of this parallel of my dad.
Right.
But I wondered if, like, Hook was kind of trying to do something like that, where, like, you know, it's a kid audience, it's an adolescent audience, but then the story of Peter Pan is so timeless,
yeah,
and everyone loves it, and then, like, it has the potential for an adult audience. Spielberg is the director,
right,
which I feel like is an adult person director.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if, like, that attempt and that failure at being able to really bridge that is what makes it such a polarized audience.
Probably. I agree with you, because as I was watching it this time, I remember thinking, who is this movie really geared to? Because it is pretty violent. It's pretty violent. It's pretty realistic. There's some dark moments.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the war actually begins, like, Peter, the first thing, like, Peter Pan, Robin Williams, slashes at one of the pirates and he dies.
Yeah.
That's a straight up kill shot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit. That's weird. For it mostly being a kids movie, or I would think, but then there are other sequences early on in the movie that are very serious and
right.
are very dramatic in tone. And so, yeah, I think Spielberg didn't quite capture it. I think,
right.
like, the way he did with E.T., because I think E.T. is a great example of it's kids mostly in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and you can relate to the alien, and it's kind of this childlike adventure, but it's also about growing up. And
I have never seen E.T.
Oh my god. Did your dad walk out of E.T. as well?
No, we loved E.T., but I never saw it.
How did you never see it? They loved E.T.
I think that it was it PG-13?
I don't think so. I think it was PG.
I don't know. Maybe it scared me.
Maybe.
That's a very good possibility.
Yeah, because of his neck. Was it his neck that was scary? His head kind
know.
Of rises. Like
maybe I just thought it was boring, so I didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah. Aliens are so boring.
So boring.
I know.
But
all right.
You know, like, you get to a point where you know the cultural references.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen it.
I'm sure there's a few that I have never actually seen.
Actually, I did recognize a couple things from Hook that was surprising to me.
Oh, right, yeah.
There were a couple things just from growing up and being alive that I knew about.
Right.
Like when all the Lost Boys are like, all right, let's say grace.
Right.
Grace.
And
I
then,
knew that
yep.
moment,
mm-hmm.
even though I've never seen it, which mm-hmm. is kind of fun.
You knew that. And we also just listened to, we recorded the prediction. I asked Claire to predict what the movie was going to be about.
I think that the movie Hook is about Robin Williams as Hook,
okay.
who comes back to terrorize new kids with the leader named Rufio.
Oh, Rufio's the leader of
the new kid gang.
The new kid gang. And Hook. Okay.
And Hook's the protagonist antagonist.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave it at that. Arguably, that's a good movie as well. Robin Williams playing Captain Hook.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Robin Williams would be an amazing Captain Hook.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned Rufio, so you knew knew of the character Rufio.
Yeah.
Didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's the main thing that people say, aside from, you've never seen Hook, is like, Rufio!
Rufio!
I'm like, okay, that
yeah.
literally means nothing to
right.
me. It's like you're saying a foreign word at
But they
face.
Have to yell that at you
right.
when you haven't seen it.
And there's nothing you can say back. All I can be like is, yep.
Okay. He sure
right.
is.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we'll go into, what do you want to talk about first?
This movie was so hard for me because of the buildup. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's been since 1991, this built-up thing of, like,
20 years in the making.
Hook.
Hook.
And, you know, I wanted to really like it. Sure. And then on the other hand, I didn't want to be too hard on it.
Right.
Because you don't want to come into it thinking like, well, you better impress me.
Exactly.
But I found that I just had so much trouble suspending my disbelief.
Okay.
Throughout the entire thing. I would say mostly once they get to Wendy's house and mm-hmm. then Neverland, where I was always conscious mm-hmm. that I was watching a movie about Peter Pan.
Okay.
I was never like transported into this world of Neverland or transported into, you know, Maggie Smith.
Right.
Maggie is also the daughter's name. So that's, yes. that was confusing. Yeah. To me. But like Wendy, you know, I was never removed. If there was a cool Peter Pan reference, I was like, oh, cool Peter Pan reference.
Right.
And if it wasn't, I was like, oh, so this is what you think Neverland looks like.
Right.
You know,
right.
or whatever it was. I was never really fully
You never there fully invested it.
Yeah.
into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I feel like all of the characters are kind of like caricatures.
Mm-hmm.
That's of course a broad generalization.
Sure.
And we'll get into characters later. But like the set looks like a set
yeah.
for most of the time,
yes.
which has the potential to be a cool nod
right.
to
the musical version.
The musical
exactly.
version. But if you're going to do that, like do it, you know,
right.
like I felt like,
I don't think that was a purposeful thing. I think
right.
they were trying to, you know, I mean, Spielberg, we know him, you know, Jurassic Park,
right.
E.T., like he is known for creating these very realistic and believable environments and settings,
mm-hmm.
and we buy into it.
Right.
Even years later, you watch Jurassic Park and you're like, those dinosaurs, I mean, they look real,
mm-hmm.
as real as I can imagine. And then with Neverland, yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
When he climbs up, there's that part where he climbs up out of the forest at one point and he sees all of Neverland. And I'm pretty sure it's just a backdrop that he's looking at. It's
yeah.
not any sort of real... They didn't make any attempt at it.
Right. No dimension to it.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. And the other thing about that, like with not really buying into it, I guess, or like not being able to really invest in it,
mm-hmm.
is I had so much trouble with the Lost Boys.
Oh, you didn't like them?
To be fair, I love cute kids.
Sure.
So I loved them.
So you love the tiny ones.
I love that little one who's
the
like
little one's
touching
like,
his face.
There you are, Peter.
Oh, that was the first time I sat forward on the sofa.
Aww.
Where I was like, you are so cute.
He's very cute.
And
it's
he's
the
like,
two tiny ones. It's that one who's
yeah.
like, yeah. And then at the at the dinner table, it's the one next to him after he flicks the food at Rufio. He's like, you're doing it, Peter. Like, it's those two tiny ones.
And you just root for them.
Yeah.
And you're also like, how have you known him for 27 years?
Yeah.
Longer?
Yeah.
35 years and you're four?
Yeah. Well, that gets into like the whole mythology of Peter Pan.
Right. It does.
Yeah. Which, yeah. Because like, also, why is Tootles so much older?
Well,
it makes
I figured
sense.
That out, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he left earlier.
Exactly.
Right.
But he would be, I feel like he would be of the same age as those kids if he had stayed.
Right.
He wouldn't have gotten any older either.
But don't they get a little bit older, right? Because they show Robin Williams' story once he remembers.
Yes.
And he ages.
Right.
As Pan. Is that because he goes out into the world?
I think because he's of our world. Or, yeah, maybe because he comes back. Actually, now I'm not sure. Because
he touches base.
Right, yeah. Comes back home, recharges.
Right.
No, but... Because now there's, like, crossing of the original mythology of it all. And then
right.
the stuff that they added in for it to make sense. Ultimately, didn't add anything to the mythology of Peter Pan.
Right.
From what I remember, and I should have... looked at this, but I felt pretty definitive about it. But Peter's of Neverland. He is born of Neverland or whatever.
Oh.
And the children, and originally, the very original draft of the story is he's kind of an angel of death.
Right.
And these kids who are abandoned are the Lost Boys, and they die in the real world. These are their spirits. And
oh,
that's why
wow.
they stay children forever.
That's dark and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's a very, like, it's not quite so pervasive in like the play or the movie anymore. And so it goes away. And so, but knowing that mythology, like if you know that mythology, then Hook is very confusing.
Right. Hook's impossible.
Hook's impossible. So yeah. You're like, okay, I guess I have to throw all that out.
Right.
And accept that he's this kid. Yeah. So it makes it very muddy right. Of how old these kids are. Yeah, you're right. It's the youngest kids who know who Peter is. But right. Why are they the same age? Why are they younger?
Right. Why are some older? But my main problem with it is the directorial choices, I guess, mm-hmm. of The Lost Boys. Like, they have all this 90s culture. Yes. They all skateboard. They have a basketball hoop. Yeah. All of this stuff. But, like...
That one guy's got really slick hair.
Super slick hair. Yeah. Rufio has spikes.
Yeah.
Has mohawks.
Who did that dye job for him?
Who did the dye job? Who imported dye into Neverland?
Yep.
Maybe the mermaids.
Yeah.
We can talk about the mermaids.
Oh, yeah.
They're later.
Yeah.
But they, like, none of them can fly.
Right.
They should have no influence of the outside world.
Right.
In their life.
Right.
And that's the way with, like, the pirates and the mermaids, like, have no influence of this outside world.
Exactly.
But the Lost Boys magically know how to do a kickflip.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Some inconsistencies there. They built a skateboard, so that, right. I mean, that's a thing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but where did they
right.
get the basis to build a skateboard?
Yeah. Like, so the pirates that. Play baseball, which I can also kind of get behind.
Well, Jack teaches them.
Oh.
Remember? Because Captain Hook has the line where he's like, we're playing by Master Jack's rules. Because
oh.
the catcher, or the umpire, I think, shoots the guy who steals oh, right. second base. He's like, no shooting. That's so funny. Yeah. I like that joke a lot.
Yeah, that was really good. The other thing that I thought was really interesting, this is actually like a positive thing that
okay.
I kind of liked, or thought was interesting, I should say, is that it's kind of this... I like when these younger movies bring in mature themes.
Yes.
That you're not necessarily anticipating.
Right.
Like, this whole idea of the good, the evil needs the good in
yes.
order to survive.
Right.
And that's really, like, the embodiment of Hook,
mm-hmm.
of Captain Hook, because he's, like... wasting away. He's bored in
yep.
Neverland. He
yep.
hates everything because his master opponent
yep.
has left.
Right.
And he's like, just has nothing left.
Right. Yeah. And he's ready to kill himself
yeah.
in that scene, which is another one of my favorite scenes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quote. If you ever like the quote that somebody will immediately recognize from Hook is when he's like, don't try to stop me, Smee. Don't try to stop. Try to stop me. Please try to stop me. Get off your ass and stop me. But it's amazing.
That's the line.
That's amazing. It was amazing.
It is amazing. And that's like, he's just needs all of this attention because
right.
he's not, you know, exerting himself as this master villain.
Right. Well, he defeated the croc.
Right.
He defeated the crocodile. He defeated Peter Pan, basically. I mean,
right.
Peter's gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's the supreme... He should be very happy, but it's kind of this dark reality that he's facing of, like, oh, he's irrelevant now.
Right. Yeah. And it's so akin to, like, someone who, you know, studies theater and wants to be like a big theater actor
mm-hmm.
and they're instead, you know, working, doing sales
yeah.
in Michigan.
Right.
You know, or whatever. I
right.
have nothing against Michigan.
No, just, yeah.
That was the only thing that came
but
to
we
my
do
mind.
Have a lot against sales.
We hate sales.
I hate sales.
But it was like this very real middle-aged man thing
right.
where you're like thinking about your life and where did I go wrong,
right.
you know, or... Not even where did I go wrong, but it's just not what I thought it was going to be.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
There's a few of those. There's like a lot of, and they do it. I mean, that whole theme is in Peter Pan. I mean, that's the reason that it's a crocodile who swallowed a clock, because they always, it's always the analogy of Captain Hook's trying to outrun time.
Right.
And time catches up with all of us. You know, it's kind of that dark realization as well. And he says it too, like Peter in during the sword fight is like, oh, Hook's trying to outrun time. And he thinks he's defeated it.
Mm-hmm.
And several times in the clock room, when he brings Jack into the clock room, he's like, make time stand still.
Right.
And in this moment, like, we will be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to him for a little bit. It gets to Jack. Jack believes it.
Right.
And then you realize you can't live that way. Nobody mm-hmm. can live that way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I liked that a lot. I also thought that he had super valid points about parenting when he's, like, trying to convince the kids not to, like,
yes.
Peter anymore.
Right.
Like, everything he's saying is totally true.
Yeah.
Like, they had more fun when you weren't alive.
Right.
I mean, kids, I'm sure, are amazing, and I know that there's a lot of really positive things that come
absolutely
from parenting, but, like, these base realities are so true.
Right.
That I thought was just really funny.
It's very interesting. It's like, I liken it to in Christmas movies. I actually used to have a really big problem with it, but I just find it interesting now. But like in Elf, they talk about, Will Ferrell's buddy is talking to Santa, and he's like, how can people think you're not real? Like, this is so magical, and like, you get to every house in a night. And they're kind of doing that backhanded thing of, guys, we all know Santa's not real. We're going to make a joke about it. But kids don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's kind of the same thing of, oh, we're going to throw in these parenting things and it's like a joke. But there is a bit of truth to it.
Right.
There's a bit of a truth to it. And but kids don't have to realize it. But it's kind of weird because it's kids are watching it.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember watching it, and I remember it crossing my mind, at least. I don't think I dwelled on it too much, but I remember being like, oh, is that what my parents' lives were like before I was here? I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? And now, especially now, I'm older, I'm like, yeah.
Right.
This is the life I would have to stop living.
Right.
If I were to be a parent.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain Hook. I mean, he's a manipulative guy.
He was super manipulative.
Yeah.
That was very villainous.
And he convinced Jack, of course.
Right.
I mean, and also, to be fair, like, Peter was not a great father.
No, Peter is the worst.
Yeah, he ended up being a terrible father.
Oh, the worst. Mm-hmm. He's so bad. He doesn't even apologize to Jack for not going to the game.
No.
He doesn't say, I'm sorry I missed your game.
No.
Ever.
Yeah, and he says, I'm going to make 6 games this season.
Yeah.
I promise. And I was, that felt like such an empty promise to
right.
me. I was like, oh, don't do that. Don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to disappoint everybody.
Yeah.
And then when he yells at everybody in that one, like,
oh,
the one
yeah.
scene, and they all, like, herd everybody out,
uh-huh.
I was scared. I was like, I you don't often see Robin Williams mad.
Right.
So there was that level of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, that's Peter Pan yelling at these kids. And Granny Wendy has to be like, come here.
Right.
Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
It was frightening.
And then he gets to Neverland, and he's a total weenie.
Yes. Yep.
He's just a weenie. Like, yeah. He has no backbone.
Nope.
There's not any reason, if I were Hook, and I was trying to get Peter to come back, I would not bank that on him coming after his kids.
Right.
That would not be, like, my main, I don't know what, I would, like, hijack his office.
Yeah. That's true.
Something that I would think yeah. Peter would come after.
Right. That's a very idealistic opinion of Hook to believe that he'll come after his kids.
Right, exactly.
Oh, he must love them,
yeah.
you know.
We've got no evidence that he loves his children.
That's right. In that scene, did you know the cameo? Have you heard about who's cameoing in that scene where Hook is like, who didn't believe I could do it? Who amongst us does not belong? And he's pointing at the pirate.
Yes.
And the pirate next to Robin Williams that ends up getting punished
uh-huh.
gets the boo box. Do you know who that is?
I read 2 separate things and I don't know which one's true.
Oh gosh. I've never known that there were 2 other rumors out there.
The first one I read was that it's Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
And the second one I read was that it's Glenn Close.
It's Glenn Close. I'm pulling up the picture.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pulling up the picture right now. See? Yeah, Glenn Close.
She plays such good dudes.
Yeah. She's great.
She's a great dude.
Yeah. So that's her. Yeah. She gets the boo box.
That's so funny.
But that's always the shock to everybody. I'm always like, yeah, Glenn Close is in Hook.
Yeah.
And they're like, where? Also, Phil Collins is the police chief.
Yeah, I want to go back and see that now because yeah. I don't even know who the police chief is.
He's the one who's like, oh, you never know. It could all just be a prank.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, it's Phil Collins. And that was my Phil Collins impression.
Wow.
I nailed it.
We've gotten a couple impressions out of you.
Hey, Jake. I know why I came back. I know why I grew up. I wanted to be a father. I'm a daddy. My happy thought. I got it. I got it. I found it.
So, Robin Williams is Peter Pan. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I can 100% get behind it. Okay. I think he's the right man for this part. He was my favorite actor growing up because of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mm-hmm.
That's a movie I've seen multiple times.
Yes.
He's so playful
yeah.
and has that joyful spirit.
It works.
Yeah, it totally does. My one criticism
okay.
is that he delivers these iconic Pan lines,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ones that are taken directly
yes.
on purpose.
Yes.
And every time he does it so flat.
Yeah, he throws them away.
Yeah, absolutely. Where there's so much, like, that's a nod to everyone who likes Peter Pan.
Yes.
That's a nod to the adults, that's a nod to the kids. That's
yeah.
a nod, it's an homage to the story, are these, right. like, iconic moments and iconic lines.
Yeah.
And he literally, like...
He throws them away.
Yeah, they're so flat.
Yeah, and it's so, and it's such a contrast because he's opposite Dustin Hoffman,
mm-hmm.
who, I guess, yeah, yes or no, Captain Hook, Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, I don't know.
Wait, really?
I mean, I think it's okay.
No, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not
kidding.
Oh my
gosh.
I mean, he's
my favorite part of this.
Okay, I will say that in regard to the things we've been talking about,
uh-huh.
like a pathetic version of Hook.
Sure.
I can buy Dustin Hoffman. But if I want him
towards
to be like
end, yeah.
a colorful like pirate.
Uh-huh.
I would have cast Robin Williams
as Hook. You still want the Hook version. You still want the version of Hook where he's Hook. Okay.
Right.
Robin Williams just played every part.
Yes. That's my ideal version of this film. It's just Robin Williams.
It's they do that the Jim Carrey the Christmas or the what is it with the Ebenezer Scrooge? They did an animated kind of version with Jim Carrey playing all three ghosts plus Scrooge. And I think he plays, like, one other part in it. And so it's just him. It's
yeah.
basically just him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Robin
yeah,
Williams.
Yeah, or Jim Carrey as the Grinch.
Oh, that's
Don't
right.
they do that in The Grinch, too, where he plays multiple?
He plays, yeah, he
Maybe
plays
Maybe just all
else.
The Whos look the same.
That's racist. And I don't think he plays any of the Whos. So I think he just plays the Grinch in that one.
I was just sure that he
right,
plays
right, right,
every
right.
character.
Right. I think you're just thinking of him in three different movies.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Ah, I can't believe
I
it.
I feel like he...
Like, he is the title character. So this is, this is a Peter Pan story, but it's called Hook. And Dustin Hoffman as Hook, for me, when I was a kid, I was like, yep. That's Hook, and every Captain Hook that I've seen since then has had to measure up to Dustin Hoffman. Like, it's even versions that are before it, like in the Disney animated version, there's Captain Hook, and in the Mary Martin version, the musical that we're talking about, I'm like, this Hook's kind of like, he's kind of flimsy, kind of whatever. He's a little, he's conniving, but it's not as good. He's a little too panicky for me. And now, like, and then I had Dustin Hoffman, and I was like, oh, this is Hook. He's scary, and then, like, at the end, you see him, like, he falls apart, and,
right.
you know, like, the last fight when, like, he disarms him, and he's like, you need to leave.
Right.
And Hook's like, well, what would the world be like without Captain Hook?
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
I just wanted a little sparkle in his eye.
Okay.
Which I think Williams could have done to the
Yes, I do agree with you. I agree. That would have been interesting.
But, like I said, in terms of this, idea where he's this washed up middleman, mm-hmm. middle-aged man of a hook.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman does a good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bless your child, good form, Jack. After all, what would the world be like without Captain Oak?
Maggie Smith as Granny Wendy.
Excellent.
Of course.
Fantastic.
Right?
When she, I saw her outline, you know, as she's about to come down the stairs, and I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
That's exactly who you want.
Oh.
And all her lines are so loaded.
Yep.
And fantastic. She is obsessed with herself.
Yes.
And her story.
Yes. Yeah.
But aside from that.
Yeah. But I mean, great. Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's she's only in her 50s in that film.
I think so,
and
yeah.
And they make her look...
Oh, yeah. They make her look...
85.
Yeah,
she's awesome. They make her look how she looks in Harry Potter.
Right, yeah. They make her look how she actually looks now.
Exactly.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so, like, Maggie, that was when... this is so iconic of her that when she was in the Harry Potter films, I was like, oh, it's Granny Wendy. Like, how am I supposed to take this seriously as Professor McGonagall?
Mm-hmm.
That one was so ingrained in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved her. Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell. You've given me some faces already.
Oh, my God.
And I am very interested about
Where
this.
Where do I begin?
Oh, no.
Ugh.
Ugh.
I did not like that at all. I actually said out loud, is that Julia Roberts? When I saw her.
Yes.
Because it was just like... I don't have a huge problem with Julia Roberts.
Okay.
Like, I know Julia Roberts is on, like, the Anne Hathaway list of hated actresses, where, like, people just, like, hate her for no reason, kind of a thing.
Wait, what's the Anne Hathaway list of hated actresses?
I made that up right now, but I assumed that you would know what it meant. It's like actresses who are good and like respected in their field, but also you just don't like.
We just hate them.
You just don't like them.
Like Anne Hathaway.
Like Anne Hathaway. Exactly like Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, like Julia Roberts.
Like Julia Roberts. Like you just don't really like her.
Yeah. Like Meg Ryan.
Like Meg Ryan. I like Meg Ryan.
I don't like Meg Ryan. She's on my list.
What? How do you? She's
like
America's
her.
Sweetheart.
What are you talking about?
She's the girl next door.
No. No, she's not.
She's Sally.
Ugh. Actually, Sally's fine. I like Sally. I don't like Meg Ryan in most things, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
so she's my Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. But I don't feel that way about Julia Roberts
for the
most part.
Okay, okay.
But
you
in
just didn't
this
like her
movie,
as Tinkerbell.
I felt that way. Where I was like, why did you get her? I would never cast her as that. Like, there's so many better people that you could get to play a tiny little woman.
I think that was the problem. And I think, like, it goes into one of the scenes that we see in the movie, which is a very strange moment. When she becomes a full-size woman, and then she kisses Robin Williams.
Yes.
So, my original thought was, like, it should have been played by, like, a kid, like, a younger, like, a, you know, maybe a teenager, but, like, a younger person. But then I think if they wanted to go ahead and do this thing where Tinkerbell's in love with Peter Pan...
Just so unnecessary.
Very unnecessary. Very strange, too.
Yeah. It's derivative of, like, the cartoon, I think, where, like, Tinkerbell's a very jealous little...
Right.
Tink.
Yeah. She's a fairy.
Yeah. She's a little...
You could say fairy. It's not insulting in this case.
She's a fairy. Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. But she's, like, jealous. And...
Live your life the way you want to live, folks. Live your life the way you live. We're very accepting here.
Be yourself.
Be yourself. It gets better. Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. She's jealous. There's always been that thread.
She kind of has this little sexy thing she does in the Disney version.
Right. Which is not Julia Roberts, which I think might be the problem.
Yeah.
She plays it as this very, like, casual... it's like nonchalant, which is like the opposite of what you'd want. You want, especially because she can speak in this one. That's like a very big thing. Like Tinkerbell can speak in this one. She's not that, she's not sassy or,
Right, but she's got this weird little seductive voice.
Yes.
It's like, it's a child being seductive.
Yes.
Coming out of Julia Roberts.
Right.
And it's so strange.
Yeah.
It's like too many ideas that didn't get formed fully.
Right.
And her coming alive is so stupid.
Yes.
It's just like...
You're becoming full-sized.
Full-sized.
Yeah.
Full-sized.
Yeah.
she just in this moment decide like learns she has this power to
right
be big.
Yeah, and it's a very temporary. Yeah, it never was clarified to me. That's the magic that I didn't understand.
Right.
Of this movie, I was mm-hmm. like, I still don't. And I saw it today, and I thought, oh, maybe I missed the explanation or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, she became full sized, and then she, like, it seemed like at the end of the scene, she returned to a fairy size.
Right.
And that was of her, like, she was in control of that.
Yeah. Which, like, why wouldn't you do that when he was, at the moment that he is about to leave?
Right.
Turn yourself full size. And, like, for sure he would have gone with you if he's this 13-year-old boy and you're 13-year-old Julia Roberts.
Right.
Or unless she'd be adult-sized Julia Roberts.
Right.
But regardless. I
mean, she was always an adult. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
He has a relationship with her that he values.
Yes.
Versus, like, this girl he's just seeing for the first time. I have, like, you have a better shot then if you have this power in your back pocket.
Yes.
Bust it out then.
Right.
Than you do now.
Yeah.
And I just don't, like, would they have done that if it wasn't another actress? Like, is this moment because they got Julia Roberts and they have to show her in, like...
They have to show her in this beautiful dress. Right. And I honestly think they probably wouldn't have. I don't think it would have been such a consideration.
Right.
I think because they had Julia Roberts, they were like, we can do a great scene with this. And I think it was another idea of them not quite pulling off what they wanted to. Because I think the ultimate point of it was to help him remember who is actually important and who he does love.
Right.
You know, he says, I love Mora.
Right.
And... he gets there. I don't think this scene was the best way to do that. Because it's a very strange scene.
Right.
It's very strange. So, yeah. And then ultimately, I think it also speaks to Julia Roberts' portrayal of Tinkerbell. I think it's not quite right.
Yep.
I think it needs to be... Speaking of Anne Hathaway, I think it's more of a Catwoman kind of... You know, she needs to be a little more sassy and a little more...
Right. Yeah. She spends all her time with lost boys.
Right.
That's got to rub off more.
Right.
In her personality.
Yeah. She took it the other way. She was kind of a tomboy, and it was like not... It's very strange to be talking about Tinkerbell this way, but she didn't have any, like, sex appeal to me. I felt. I was like, okay. Like, yeah, it's Julia Roberts. She's of course, she's gorgeous, but other than that, this character does not... I think they want this character to be something and that it's not.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Rufio. Did you like Rufio?
Rufio! How does it go?
Dante Bosco. Rufio!
Yeah. Rufio!
Yeah. You do three. You do three in a row. Rufio! 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 And then he rides in on his wind sail or whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, they set up a roller coaster track just for Rufio's entrance.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you, growing up, feel any, like, were you stoked about Rufio?
Oh, yeah.
To, like, racially...
No, yeah. I was, absolutely. Him,
but you don't see a lot of Filipino actors.
Nope. And in fact, like, the only other, well, not the only other movie, but a very prominent movie that Dante Bosco, the actor who played Rufio, has done is a movie about Filipinos. Like, it's a cultural, you know? So it's like, I get bothered by that.
Right.
I'm Filipino, by the way. This is just why we're talking about this. But he's never been in a movie where it's not about being of a certain color or whatever.
Yeah.
So you don't, like, he's not just in, like, you know, like a like he's not in Ocean's 11 and just incidentally, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was a big deal because it speaks to growing up as a kid. Most of your heroes are white because mm-hmm. that's how most everything is portrayed. Like Superman, Batman, they're all white.
Yeah.
Peter Pan, white. He's a little white kid.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when I saw Rufio come in, I was like, oh shit. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
For somebody like me.
Right.
It was really great. And, I liked him a lot as a character.
Yeah.
But he had very, like, modern intonations and things like that.
He does, yeah.
Like, all of his lines are like, every adult's a pirate. Like, he's like this gangster, yeah. But he's got like a sword. Right. Like, but it was funny, and ultimately, I liked him, and I was really sad when he died.
Yeah, why kill him?
Because they need like one last inspiration for Peter to. Because I think, you know what, like, I think too is like they needed to get Peter to a dramatic point of like almost killing Hook.
Right.
And like, yeah, he kidnapped the kids. I'm not trying to justify actions at all, but like, yeah, he kidnapped the kids, but they were very taken care of.
Right.
It's not like they were thrown in a dungeon right. and like neglected.
Yeah.
He practically adopted Jack.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he lets Maggie sing on the porch at night, or whatever.
You're welcome, child.
You're welcome, child. Here's your stage.
The porch is yours, but only when the sun goes down.
Right, right. No singing during the day. But yeah, I think somebody needed to die, and yeah. Rufio was the only other character that you had a connection to.
Yeah, you're right. Aside from that little boy who sees Pan for the first time. But you right. can't kill a 3-year-old.
No, that would have changed the movie entirely. Yeah. Been a very different movie.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got kind of the most classic storyline, Rufio, mm-hmm. where like he's the small antagonist,
yep.
if you will.
Yep.
And then he comes over to his side and he supports him.
Right.
And then he dies. And then that person always dies.
Yep. Yep. Because he's the one who believed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it's great.
Yeah, I was excited that he was Filipino as well.
Yeah.
Because it's cool. It's cool to see that.
Looky, looky, I got Hooky.
Hook, no!
Saying too, I want to talk about it. You didn't know how to feel about the movie by the end.
Yeah, I didn't know because yeah. like it's so built up,
right?
And so, and I think I enjoy this. I hope this doesn't sound pompous, but I enjoy yeah. storytelling.
Sure,
you know, and so like coming away from most movies, I'm like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. I can usually get behind that. And yeah. I love Peter Pan. I love the story of Peter Pan. I was in the play Peter Pan when I was in second grade.
What did you play?
I was a lost boy.
Okay.
Maybe why I have such a strong opinion yes, about probably. How a lost boy should be.
Did you have a lost boy name? Did you come up with your own names or?
No. I think I was like lost boy number 17 or something.
17?
I only had one line.
Oh.
But I
you
rocked
that line.
Yeah.
Didn't throw it away like Robin Williams.
That's right. And it was improvised. It was not in the original script. And oh. I added it in.
Oh, so we're getting the origins of Claire Yale the improviser now, too.
Yes, exactly.
I was allowed to ad lib in my first.
I just did it, you know, organically. I just felt that a line needed to be in there. And then the director said, let's keep it.
Yeah.
It was, wait for me.
Oh, I felt it. I felt it. You really brought me back there. not just a general thing. It was me. It was very specific.
Exactly.
I felt a lot of intent on weight. Mm-hmm. That was an imperative. I love it.
Right. Yep.
Did you like? Oh, I had one more. Did you like Smee? Bob Hoskins as Mr.
Oh,
Smee.
Yeah.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked him too.
Oh, something I else didn't like.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Something else I didn't like.
Yeah, that's fine.
Something I else didn't like.
Yeah. Either way you say it.
I hate when movies make it like, was this a dream? And
oh,
he kind of
yeah.
says that, like, he alludes to that, like, you're going to wake up and you're not going to know if this was a dream.
That's true.
But I just, like, make it real. We
right.
just went through this,
yeah.
you know? Like, we know it's real. Like, it's the same, I feel the same way about Wizard of Oz. It's like,
yeah.
don't make it a dream. Like,
right.
it happened for real.
Yeah.
I feel it more strongly about this than I do
right.
about Wizard of Oz.
Because Wizard of Oz, like, I guess you can
right.
kind of understand, like, that, you know, but there's no reason to make this not a real thing.
Right.
Because it was a real thing. It was real enough that it brought the kids closer to their father.
Right.
Their father became a better man because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So to make it a dream kind of devalues it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not a dream. Is the other...
No.
You know,
yeah.
like, Maggie... Not Maggie. Wendy.
Granny Wendy.
Granny Wendy.
Yes.
Knows it's real. Maggie Smith right. knows it's real.
Professor McGonagall knows it's real.
Exactly. She, literally when they were thinking of casting McGonagall, they were like, oh, Grandma Wendy, that's right. who we need.
Yeah. You know who'll bring a lot of gravitas to this is Granny Wendy.
Granny Wendy. Because all of her lines are so pointed.
All of them. All of them.
She's
yeah.
the perfect McGonagall.
She is. And no, Granny she is. Wendy. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah, Bob Hoskins comes up at the end. He's the the janitor or something.
He's like sweeping
up the bottles. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but that Toodles or whatever, he knows it's real.
Right.
Wendy knows it's real.
Yeah.
Peter now knows it was real.
Right. And at the end, Toodles flies away.
Yeah.
So we all see him fly away.
Exactly. Like, there's no reason to allude
that
this
could
have been a dream.
Right.
It's just another one of those Spielberg semi-ideas
yeah.
he just tossed in.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it could have also just been, oh, let's just have him play that part at the end.
Right.
Like, they maybe didn't think of that, but now they didn't think of the implication.
Exactly.
Of what it could mean.
Yeah.
That it was a dream.
Yeah.
When they were like, oh, no, we didn't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. But that's what you ended up with.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
And it's just such a long movie. Like,
yes.
you have time to think these things
right.
through.
Yeah.
You spent 2.5 hours.
It's a 2.5 hour movie.
Story.
Yeah. It's a 2.5 hour movie, and there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of weird. You were going to say something about the mermaids. There's a mermaid
sequence.
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of like whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to show them because they're a part of the original existing world.
Right. I'd forgotten that they were in there. That was a very strange moment when they. I had forgotten that they were a part of this movie. So
oh, okay.
he falls underwater and like these hands start appearing and I was like, what's happening? And then it was the mermaids and I was like, oh yeah.
I also in that moment was like, don't you think the pirates know how ineffective it is to send people off the plank if mermaids are just making out with them?
Right.
Like they're gonna save everyone.
Yeah. Especially
That's
if you throw
not
a guy.
Ineffective.
Right?
Right.
Because mermaids are all
straight.
Heteronormative. Yes. Yep.
Be yourself.
Yeah. Be yourself.
Everyone.
It gets better.
We love everybody.
We love you. We're all waiting for you. Yeah. But now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I just feel like with all of these specifics, I just picture Steven Spielberg, like, arms crossed, like, it's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Just leave it.
Right. Look. I'm moving on. Look, I made Neverland. Okay. He was so concerned about making Peter look like he can fly that
right.
he was like, I'm only worried about this. I can't worry about that.
Where's my DA?
Where's my second unit? They have to do that. Do you want to end? Do you want to do the...
The what?
The lightning what?
This is the lightning round of everything that's like, huh?
I'm going to try and answer them. If I can't, I'll just agree with you or I will say pass.
Okay. I think we've covered most of them.
Okay,
so
cool.
So that's all right. There's a fake Peter Pan song in the beginning in the play that they're watching.
Yes. I'll try to shorten this, condense it, but... The mythology around Hook is that Granny Wendy had her story written down. And so from that story is where they got that musical. So it's an entirely different line of things. J.M. Barrie does not exist in this timeline. Because this is an actual timeline where Peter Pan existed.
Why would they not explain that? Or not have the play?
She explains it in one scene, but I think it doesn't connect it to that play that you see.
Right.
But you're supposed to imply that from later on. Because later on, they're in the little tent.
Yeah,
and
she talks about...
Yeah, and she's like, our neighbor wrote it down.
Oh, geez. I thought that was a lie she was making up to tell the kids.
No, Granny Wendy doesn't lie.
Oh, gosh. So Peter Pan's not even in that? Oh, no, he is in the play.
No, he is in the play, yeah. No, he's in the play, but it's based on true events. Instead of them using the musical from our real world. I know, it's confusing. It's so
that's
confusing.
Weird.
Yeah. It's
that's
its own reality.
That's poor choice. Well, it's an interesting idea.
Bad form.
Bad form.
Bad form.
Bad form.
Yeah.
The weirdest shot cuts. Where things just ended and they were like, oh, that's good.
Yes.
Like when Tinkerbell's like, give him a chance. Like, right when they're all deciding whether or not they band together for Peter Pan.
Yes.
You don't see that moment that we've been waiting for that
right.
whole scene.
I will agree with you on that.
That's the
yes.
payoff of that scene.
Right.
And they're like, don't need it.
Don't need it. It's fine. They also do that at the end of the Julia Roberts is full-sized. And then she's like, go. Like, go save your kids. Pushes him off the balcony. She returns to fairy size. And he reaches out. Like, are you going to come with me? And then they both just fly away. And then it's over.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah. So yeah. I agree with you on that.
Weird cuts.
Weird cuts.
They decided to, like, make 5 scenes in the real world before they go into Neverland.
Yeah.
10 scenes.
Yeah.
There's a long time before they go to Neverland.
It's a little too long.
Like, cut that and add the scene where they pick this adult man up on their shoulders and, like, parade him around because he can't fly yet.
Right.
Ugh. It's just ridiculous. And that's it. I want to talk about the mermaids who just make out with anyone.
Mermaids who make out with anyone.
Super hot.
Yep.
I'm okay with it because mermaids are always hot.
Yes, they are. That's true.
So that's okay.
That's fine.
The fact that they don't speak, one thing.
Well, they're underwater, so they're never going to speak.
They've adapted, probably.
To talking underwater?
I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you. What about the flowers? Did you like the weird flowers?
Oh, no. Those were so SETI. Those were so, like, we're on a set.
Yep.
Someone's mom papier-mâchéed those and put them on set.
And they're moving them just off frame, out of frame. They're like, ew,
I'll volunteer my time. Yeah. Just put me in the credits.
That's a good impression of Mrs. Spielberg. Steven's mom.
My flowers.
I love your movies.
Did you see my flowers?
Did you see my flowers? And Steven's like, no. I have to figure out how to make Peter fly.
Mom. Whatever. Yeah. I don't care.
I don't care.
Peter flies.
Peter flying. And that was my last one. Peter flying mostly acted like he was swimming.
Oh, that's fair.
It's all right?
Yeah.
It's all right with you?
That's all right with me.
Okay.
Because I think that any human who has not flown in a while would instinctually kind of do that.
Yeah. We all haven't flown in a while, so.
So I can get behind it.
So I would treat it as swimming initially. All right. Well, that's it, Claire.
I think that's it.
That's the first episode of Unseen Footage.
Yes.
And we got to talk about Hook, which I still love. I still love it. And we'll be back next month. Another movie.
Yeah.
You've never seen E.T.
I've never seen E.T.
Might have to do E.T. at some point.
This is just about Spielberg films.
This is just Spielberg now. She's never seen Spielberg films. But that's it. That's Unseen Footage. I'm David Armstrong.
I'm Claire Yale.
And we'll see you next month. Bye.